T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And to talk about it, a man who understands what special defense looks like, he has been a part of one, and we'll see if this team has got one now. Ian Williams, a 95.7 The Game 49er analyst. You see him with NBC Sports Bay Area, former D-lineman on the dial pad guest line. Ian here with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Thanks so much for joining us again. Look, man, what did I really just see on Sunday? You played in this league. You tell me, what level of domination would you put on what the Niners did at the Coliseum?
Everything you just said, you said you haven't seen this kind of performance in, what, 30-something years. Like, that's what the kind of – that's what these guys are doing now. These guys are throttling teams where they can't even – they got to the point into the season where, like you just said, they're holding teams. Do you know how frustrating it is to be an offensive coordinator and you can't convert anything on third down? Like, your whole game plan is shut down. Even if you get to 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-5, no, even 4th downs, they couldn't do anything. And then they don't have Todd Gurley, so it's a train wreck down there in L.A. right now. Just trying to figure out what's going on. But our defense is just they've shown up. You know, the Steelers game, we were meant to lose that game. All those turnovers, but the defense really, you know, fought in, and I feel like that game they made a huge hump where they started to believe in themselves, and you started to see that these past two nights or two games where they're shutting down a wide receiver crew that, you know, on paper looked to be the best in the league, and then you come down to L.A., you know, on the road, you know, big time stage, and you shut down that offense that has been, you know, that put up, you know, even though, and there was a shootout with them and the Buccaneers, but they put up 50 points, you know, in that game. So to shut them down and just totally frustrate them, even after the first drive, you know, people were shook up after that first drive, like, oh, what was going on? What was that? Uh-oh, the defense is, rearing their ugly heads again. What's going on? And they made adjustments and they fixed it. Previous years, that wasn't going on, but this year, it's something different.
Robert Saleh went from village idiot to borderline genius in a year. What is the takeaway for people who like to evaluate coordinators based on what their teams do on the field? Because I've always thought that a coach is as good as the players he's trotting out there, and that the 49ers in the first 2 years of Saleh's reign were not very good. And for the most part, and are we finding out that he's a really, really superb coach, an elite defensive coordinator, or are we finding out that he's a good defensive coordinator who's really done the most with a lot of talent?
I feel like people need to start to give John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan a round of applause for sticking with him for the rough part of the first couple of years where, you know, question marks were all over the field. But I feel like, now, and it's not even him just, we're switching up things. We're still sticking to what we do, but we just needed the pass rush. They didn't have that. They strictly had the Forrest Buckner, and they had a couple guys who can go out there and you know, generate a pass rush. But now you have threats all over the field that can, you know, generate something and can cover guys. And now you have a speedy, rangy linebacker, you know, and Quan and Fred, who's really starting to come into his own. Like, everything's starting to mesh together. You know, Kilo's starting to play better. And then you got young guys who are able to step up. And with having young guys like a guy like Mosley, to be able to step up like that, like on prime time, and to go up against Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, that is some big boy type stuff. So that shows you these kids are really buying in. Now these coaches are really scheming up things and slowing things down and really interpreting things so that these guys can understand it on the field and make adjustments, you know, while playing and not having to think about it and come to the sideline after. These guys are out here making adjustments on the field amongst themselves, and they have a guy like Richard Sherman really calm everything else down. They're hitting on all cylinders. So it's coaching, it's players, a little bit of everything. So it's great to see right now.
So I'm just curious, from a former defensive lineman, I would say there's 4 guys on this defensive line that are playing at, let's call it, a Pro Bowl level right now. obviously, we know Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, DeForest Buckner, and I would throw Eric Armstead in there as well. If I made you rank those guys in terms of what they're bringing to the team this year, who in your mind is at the top of the list?
I would have to start first off with, you can't even really pick one guy because they're all doing it as a collective unit. And also, you gotta apply that offense too. You gotta look at these reps that these snap counts these guys are getting now. You know, Dee Ford's in the 20-ish a game. Nick Bosa's in the 30-40ish. You know, these are great snap counts and it's low reps, so guys can go out there and rotate and really play well. And I feel like not really one guy has really shined. It's been a whole unit, and I feel like we need to start talking about them as a unit, you know, like the old school gold rush. You know, somebody needs to come up with a name for this unit because I feel like they're doing it together. You know, if they were doing it, I'm going to get me a sack here. You'll be seeing lane opening all over the field where total quarterbacks sneak up and get up out of the pocket because guys aren't staying in their positions. But they're rushing as one, and they're keeping guys in the pocket where they can't scramble. So I can't even really pick one. I'm not going to let you get me right there.
All right, but let me follow up because something you said is interesting to me. I think we do think of pass rushers as I'm going to go get this sack type of guys. So what does teamwork look like on a defensive line? Are they communicating, I'm bull rushing this time, you're doing this? How does all that work?
I don't know exactly what they're doing because I'm not in the meeting rooms and not on the field, but I know back when we were when Justin and Alden and Ahmad and those guys were on the field, we communicated amongst ourselves. Vic gave us the freedom to really, you know, call games and really call stunts ourselves to really see what we saw on the field, because sometimes you're going to call stuff as a defensive coordinator and maybe the protection is sliding right into where you're running this stunt, so it won't work. So it's better to have guys on the field that can conduct themselves in a professional manner to know, you know, when to change something and make it look good so that it doesn't screw the coordinator or make you guys look bad. Now, I don't know what they're doing exactly on the field, but it looks collectively done as a unit. You know, not if there's, like I said, Baker Mayfield had nowhere to go. He likes to step out, up and out of the pocket or release to his left so he can get to his right arm. Same thing with most quarterbacks. They're right-armed, and they can't do it because those guys are all rushing in unison.
Ian Williams here on 95.7 The Game. Is Solomon Thomas about to get a lot better, or is he who he is?
I feel like he's already proven, you know, what he can do on the film. I feel like if people watch the film, and he's undersized, he's playing a three technique at roughly, you know, 260, you know, probably less than that. I don't know exactly his weight, but he's playing three technique, and he's playing some over-the-center type stuff, and that's how he got the sack. There was a counter play, and he hit it up the field. Instead of pressing back into the center. So, you know, he just made a great play, and it was a great play call for the defense, and it worked out in his favor. But I feel like he's doing his job. We're not, you know, calling his name out. We're, oh, look at Solomon Thomas getting thrown out of the club right here or getting thrown out of his gap right here or not doing his job right here. We haven't really said that, have we, all season long. So exactly what he's doing, he needs to continue to do, and that's what he's been doing.
Ian, 5-0 start comes with expectations. No one's cocky enough to assume they're just going to get on an airplane and win games automatically 10 a.m. on their bodies East Coast, but it is the Redskins. What's the number one thing the Niners need to make sure they don't trip over this week as they get ready for the Redskins?
So it's a little rivalry game. You know, my old D-line coach is out there. He's the D-line coach over there. So it's going to be a tough battle because the Redskins are actually pretty good up front. They had Jonathan Allen, Ryan Kerrigan. I came out the same year as him. I was actually at the one of the bowl games with him. So I know what kind of guy he is. And I know that kind of front that Washington, you know, kind of presents with 3-4, where it's going to give us some challenges because I think, you know, the Steelers were probably the only other team that really was a 3-4 team, but they run it a little bit differently out there. And then also Jimmy T, you know, he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder trying to, you know, write, you know, he's probably going to talk the night before the game to the guys, you know, that, you know, this is my former team. I want to beat them, do everything we can, just go out there and handle business. So we just got to go out there and just adjust to the time. And I feel like we did it. You know, Tampa Bay, you know, there were question marks. You know, they went out there and did it in the heat. I feel like they can do it again. They did it earlier in the season, and I feel like they can do it again as long as they, you know, just go out there and handle business, be able to run the ball and play good defense.
See, Ian, this is why I'm glad we have you on. I wasn't even thinking about it. Tom Sula revenge game. Look out, everyone. Could be Tom Sula revenge
game. Look out.
Ian, thanks, pal. Always good to talk to you, and we got a good football team to finally talk about. That's a lot of fun. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.